inventory. You got it on?
Yes, sir. So today is Saturday, December 8th, 2018, and we're talking to Jimmy Leach, and we have Mark and Rick and John Lagan that are giving you feedback as of the end of the weekend of sharing at Heart of a Warrior Advanced. So I'll start out. My name again is John, and I'm going to try to connect some dots based on the things we've learned about you, Jimmy, this weekend. And you shared with us through a picture story some of the things that are important to you, and through some exercises that we have participated in, given to us by Gary Bartlow, the author of It's Your Call, such as our favorite books and movies, and verbs that appeal to us, and what we would do if we had a sudden inheritance. And based on those things that you have shared with us, and the discussions that we've had, I have picked up on a gift of God that you have for being able to pull together from all sorts of different choices, things that when brought together reflect a beauty, that you have a gift of being able to put together and display to reflect the beauty that others might not see. What a gift. And so that's part of your glory that God is revealing to you, a glory of your life. It sounds like you are getting a little bit of that joy of realizing the glory of your life with your involvement in your causes, the Moly Children's Ministry, and the Restoring the Foundations. And I think the part of the attraction to you of those ministries is this gift that you have of loving to see things come together for folks that are a little bit more disadvantaged than most of us here in the States. You have an eye for being able to bring out this beauty, both from the standpoint of pulling together great food with combinations of flavors and colors and textures to produce unique creations. That's sort of an interest of yours, of cooking, and that's related to these Moly children who are producing agricultural products. I think there's a tie in there, and that's why that has appealed to you. So that's the glory that's in your life. In the past, and this may also be part of why you have this interest in these ministries, you went through some rejection and dismissal by your family, that you felt some suffering from. You felt some heartache. it was certainly not something you enjoyed, but it was something that you went through and has shaped you and has had a lasting impact on your life. And though those things were certainly not desirable at the time, I think they've given you compassion for others, which is, of course, is also exhibited in your role that you have been assigned in the healthcare industry. And I'm sure that compassion transcends your work and the results of what you do in your career in the healthcare industry. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Tim.
It's been really good getting to know you the last couple days. We're rooming together, so thank God had a hand in that. I see a lot of friends of mine in you I know who you are, like, just from that kind of stuff. But in doing this, it's been amazing to see the glory that God has got in you, and that I had the glory and the splendor that the enemy tried to attack from the beginning. And you've recognized that for what it was, you know, that he uses that to just destroy us early and then make agreements with it and then affect us the rest of our life. And he brought out the big guns on you. You know, he but I think the reason why he did that is because you've got so much glory to be had. I mean, he's not going to waste his time on something small. And you had, and he brought out the big guns, and you had a hard time, you know, with, I'm the last person, my wife and I are married, and she went through infidelity from her first marriage. And so I see the pain from that end. I watched my parents, who were great examples of not going through that. But I also remember one night hearing them having a fight and talking about divorce and going through marriage. And as a kid, and I was in my 20s when I think I heard this, feeling the reverberation of that through me, like, oh my gosh, this is horrible for them, and what does that say about us? So, for you, I know you're struggling with your kids, trying to get them to understand that, yeah, your wife is okay, or may or may not be okay with what happened, and now it's 5 years out, and you're thinking, okay, well, they should be able to work through this. Just give them some time. You know, give them time to see you for who you are. Because I don't think you're that guy. I'm sure the enemy laid it on hard to try to attack you out of strength when you were weak, tired, worn out, all those things, searching for something to grasp when you were going through some financial struggles, whatever it was that caused you to fall. You're on the road to redeeming yourself. 5 years down the road, that's no joke. To walk away from a habit, almost, that, you know, keep popping up here and there. So good on you for sticking through that and for following after that. And you've battled through that. Take the strength from that victory from this point on and use it to keep you going strong and keep everything on the right path. I just see so much talent in you, and there's so much stuff that you could do. I could see you going to Mali and cooking for the doctors that come in, or working in the nursing and using those talents while you're there. I'm sure they need medical assistance. I mean, there's just so much there that I can see you taking your whole life and the talents that you have, is even the adapt, overcome, improvise. I'm sure that comes in handy when you're out on a mission field doing that kind of stuff. You're just built for it. All the stuff that God's prepared you for throughout your whole life is just ready to be exploited for good. And that's just going to be really cool to see you step into that and watch how that works out over the next couple of years, and as you seek after what God would have you do. And I'd like to see you fill out that rich uncle thing with more, okay, how would that work out? What would that kind of look like? Where would you, you going to go back to New York City and start a soup kitchen, or would you, how's it going to, that love that you have for the for that area. So step into those strengths, and you've got a good track on where you've been. First part of is dealing with your story is knowing where you've been, and you've got a great handle on that. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Jim, at what point in your life did you first feel success? I think well, it's a hard question. The first time I felt success, I would have to say when I was when I started cooking professionally.
And what age was that?
I was 45 or 46, and I can't.
There was a lot of heartaches for you growing up. You felt like you could never measure up. You're always against the tide that was always coming and always hitting you and knocking you down, and you get back up, and you just waited for the next tide to hit you. And I think the first time you felt of worth is whenever you became a Marine. And that set you apart from...
You're right about that. I didn't think about that.
And because of that, the Marine, you specifically went into the Marines just to prove, because it was the hardest basic training there was, and you wanted to prove to everybody that you could, you had the mettle in order to be successful, and that launched you into. Once that happened, you tasted success. Then after that, you just started building on to that success piece by piece. And that's where Satan started stepping in. And hey, here's a little bit of pride. I think pride got in the way a little bit too. And now you're in a point in your life now where you there's attrition there, and there's you want it all to go away, all that stuff that was self-imposed. And this is what I wrote: you love creating things that have a positive impact on other people's life. It's creating. Activity awakens a strong desire in your heart that tangibly yells out that I have a purpose. Your Your heart loves to please others, and especially those that are in need. Your self-imposed insignificance from your childhood was corrected when you proved to your family that you could be one of the few and the proud. Your past indiscretions has hurt you, and you seek to gain acceptance from those that are part of your life. The goals that are in your heart are bursting out to explore because God loves you so much. He's got a purpose for you, and I think there's only a bright path for you in the coming days.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
I'm going to see if there's someone that I asked to stop by out here. Yes, they didn't make it. So, thank you very much, Mark. Jim, do you have any feedback to us that gave you?
No,
feedback?
That was all really good. Y'all are
that was beautiful,
very
Mark.
Insightful.
Thank you.
Very insightful. And you are exactly right about success. I hadn't thought of that. That is why I went in the Marine Corps. And it was to prove to everybody and to prove to me. So that was good. Thank you.
Beautiful timing, huh? Somebody trying to call you?
Yeah, but I'm not answering it. Yeah.
Now someone's going to stop by with you.
Guess not. So yeah, that was something I missed too. That was actually one of the glories in your life, wasn't it? It was becoming a Marine. And you were successful. You adopted that identity.
Yeah.
I
don't think I told you guys when I was telling the story, but I was telling somebody else that the worst feeling I've ever felt in my life was the day I got discharged, because you're on the base, but you don't belong anymore.
Yeah.
In the Marine Corps, especially because of the esprit de corps,
yeah,
it's a horrible feeling. I mean, I thought I was going to throw up when I walked out of the office.
Yeah.
With my DD-214.
That's the worst thing you ever get is get a DD-214. And I say this often, your whole support platform, everything that you have, you know, from the time you got into the military to the time you got out, it tells you what you wear, what time you go to eat, what time you go to work, what time you just, and all of a sudden, they hand you a DD-214, and then all of a sudden, your support platform just collapses under you. And that's where a lot of our veterans are, because the VA doesn't have that program ready to capture them the day they come out with that DD-214. The VA's just sitting around doing like this, you know, if you got any problems, come see me. And there's a lot of...
But there's absolutely no outplacement?
Huh?
None of the services have any outplacement? You're just on your own?
Well, you got to understand the mentality of a military person. They got a Superman mentality. You know, I am, you know...
Even if they had, they wouldn't take them up on it, probably.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, if they're tracking to get out of the military, I mean, say 50% of them are. That's the military. I need to be focused on my new life and all that. And so the VA's just, you know, doesn't really go in there and say, all right, we're gonna log you in effective tomorrow. There's not that. That's all generated at your county level through a county veteran service office that allows.
Yeah, you have to initiate everything.
And see, that's the gap that needs to be filled.
Are those people who are active duty in the county?
No, they're paid by the county that they're in.
So most veterans probably don't pursue that immediately after discharge.
They don't. You wouldn't believe the veterans that come into our program for the first time. They sit down with the VSO who's in our program, and they start filling out the application process to get into the military. I mean, to the VA, and for the first time, they can actually. I can get a hearing aid. I can get that, all kinds of stuff. But you got to understand from their perspective. I had a 76-year-old man that was in Vietnam. He got shot up. They didn't expect him to live. He went to Walter Reed Army Hospital, and they just chiseled on him and all that. And he made one of these things in his life. Says, I would never darken the door of another VA hospital. That was his.
I did that for 20 years,
and that's what he did at about 24 whenever he was shot.
And that's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon, and so all these years, all these pain, PTSD, and all that just is in him, ready to explode. And
well, because they didn't even recognize PTSD after NAM, yeah. Did they?
Well, they did. They recognized
it. It was called shell shock. Yeah, in
World War II, it was shell shocked, or, you know. But.
Not that what we're able to know.
Yeah. But what happens is he comes to me because he gets charged with assault on a female, which is his wife. And how he does it happens, he just responds. He shakes he has like a six-pack of drinks, and he's putting them in the refrigerator. And he's 76 years old, and his wife says, well, you don't have to put it in that refrigerator and all that. And he said, yes, I do. And he jerks it back, and one of them hits her, you know, and leaves a scar on the side of her face. One of the drinks came out of that little carrier thing. Well, the law enforcement came and charged him for the assault. Mm-hmm. And that's whenever he came to me for the first time. And 2 days later, he was at the VA hospital. What it was, he had been heard. He's never had hearing aids. He heard something, and his wife said something totally different. And that's what caused that issue. And for the first time, he had his hearing aids. And I want you to know, he came back to me, and we fixed everything. The charge was dropped and all that. The DA dropped the charge. But he came to me and handed me a pamphlet that was he got while he was in Vietnam. And he says, I want you to have this. And he said, because if it wasn't for you, I would never be able to hear my wife again.
Wow.